I am Andre, and I am also the son of a mother. And I'm the husband of my wife, Janine, and we've got two beautiful girls that's also in the kids ministry at the moment. So I want to encourage you to trust them with your kids, that they will definitely do a good job in terms of really reaching to those kids. So we're going to start today by reading our Bibles. And so every time I preach, I use the Bible quite a lot. And you'll hear that I use a lot of scripture, a lot of verses. And the reason I do it, and so if you've listened to Tyrone Daniels as well, so if you've ask him a question, then he will always tell you, like, well, what does your Bible actually say about it? And what does your Bible say about it? Now, your Bible, in the armor of God, is your sword, right? And we need to use our sword. So what do you use a sword for? So you use a sword to attack, and you also use a sword to defend. It's not only just a weapon, it's also something that you can defend yourself. So we always need to use our Bibles to attack the enemy, but also defend ourselves from the enemy. So I've been a Christian my entire life. So since I can remember, I've been a Christian, and I really grew up. I was blessed to be in a lovely family home where Jesus was king. And ultimately, I knew Jesus my entire life, right? So I got baptized at 12. But I knew Jesus from when I started, right? And having said that, it means that I'm supposed to know my Bible quite well, and I've read my Bible my entire life. But the more I read my Bible nowadays, and we had a discussion earlier this year as well, is the more I read my Bible, the more I actually notice that actually I don't know my Bible, you know? And actually, when I read this thing, I've read it 100 times, but it's saying something completely different. And my mind's blown in terms of, how did I miss this? You know, like every time I read this, but I've never actually seen this. So I want to encourage you guys to really start focusing and learning and listening to your Bibles and really see, well, what does my sword actually say about these things? What does my sword say? So I'm going to use the Bible a lot. So I hope you guys are ready. You are prepared. And that the eyes have been working nice in terms of the worship. So we're going to start off Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. And it reads, so, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. See, now, I've read this many times, and I've studied this because I'm preaching, and even now I'm amazed actually about that last section, which says, how vast is some of them? So how precious to me are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they outnumber the grains of the sand. God's thoughts about you are so, so much, actually. You know? So again, read your Bibles. So That's a little bit of extra for you guys in the second service, right? Cool. So I'm just so amazed with reading this and ultimately what the poet's saying. When he read this, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body and all the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be. So God knew about you before he actually created the earth, right? Before there was a day and a night on this earth, God knew about you. So my preach today is called, You Are a Masterpiece, right? Do you guys believe it? So let's all say turn to the guy next to you and say, you are a masterpiece, or I am a masterpiece. Good. Both of them. There we go. Cool. So it's a sermon about identity, and we spoke about identity earlier this year. And you guys will all remember it, but it's ultimately, how does God see you, right? Who are you in God's eyes? And I want to say that specifically because it's not who you are in your own eyes or who you are in your spouse's eyes or even your mother's eyes with Mother's Day. Like, it's who you are in God's eyes. How does God actually see you? Because ultimately that's all that matters, right? Yes, we feel that sometimes there's pressure from the world, but that doesn't matter, right? It's what God sees that matters. So when I read that scripture, I can already see that God created me in a specific way. He had plans for me in a specific way, and He made me. Even though I've got failures and faults, even though I've made mistakes, He knew way back then that I'm already going to make those mistakes. He knew when I'm going to have my bad days. But He says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And then at the same time, we know that God has good plans for us, right? Even though we failed, He didn't see those failures. He didn't think those failures through. Because Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So even though I've got bad days, God's plans for me were good, right? God's plans for you, that you would prosper, that you would not fail, that you would prosper. So we can see that even some mistakes we have made, God has a greater vision for us. Yet, as we are sitting there this morning, some of us might feel, well, I'm a failure, you know? I've struggled, you know? We have failed our family. We have failed God. But I want to tell you today that is exactly what the devil is trying to tell you today. He's saying to you, remember this. Remember what you did yesterday. Remember that. Or that thought you had yesterday or last night. He's saying, remember what you did 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. You know, he loves bringing up all baggage and bringing those things along and dragging them those things along. But I want to tell you today that the devil is a liar and a cheater and a stealer. And he wants to come and rob you of your blessings. John 3 verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to also come and say, "Well, remember that sin of 20 years ago. Remember yesterday's sin." He came to save the world, not to condemn it, not to tell you every time, "This is what you did wrong. Remember," type thing. Jesus came to save. God doesn't see a mistake when He sees you, right? God sees you as a masterpiece. So Ephesians 2 verse 10, the apostle writes, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." The good things He planned for us long ago, right? Unfortunately, in today's world, people don't like themselves, right? You go to bed all tired, thinking, "Ah, what a day, you know? Like, if only this day didn't happen." You will go to bed, you're like, "Let me just go and sleep." And then the next morning you wake up, you feel more tired because you didn't have a sleep. You were thinking about a whole bunch of things. You are looking in the mirror, you're saying to yourself, "Well, only I was taller, you know? If only I was skinnier, you know? You guys were only a little bit stronger, you know?" you look at yourself in the mirror and you think to yourself, "But if I was this before, if only I can be more like that person." Guys, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to start loving ourselves. You are not average, right? You are not a failure. You are a masterpiece. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." But how are we supposed to go out and love our neighbors if we can't love ourselves? Right? We need to love ourselves. The Great Commission, Jesus has sent us out to reach the people out there on every corner of the earth. How am I going to tell that guy in the corner of that street that he is loved if I don't even believe it, right? People look at you. People see how you are treating others, how you are treating yourself, and then they're seeing it. So the first section of that, you are God's masterpiece. What is a masterpiece, right? So the Oxford Dictionary, I've just Googled it, is a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. And it's a noun, basically. So don't know if you guys know what a noun is, but I don't. But it's a noun. Okay. So if that means anything, for me, the most important things is you are a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. Think of the most breathtaking painting that you've seen or that you know of, you know, like all those Picassos, all those Van Gogh, all those Da Vinci's, those type of paintings. And when you look at those things, each of them is different. So I've been blessed to see a couple of these paintings and I've always kind of just looked at them and thought, well, it's nice, you know, but I would be able to pick the difference. But when you start studying these things in detail, you start seeing, well, a Picasso's got a very, very lots of detail in it. It's very fine. It doesn't go over the lines. It's perfect. You know, it's like that ultimate thing of when we look at a perfect person, he paints that way. Now, when we look at Van Gogh on the other side, it's a whole bunch of dots almost, like it's like just stripes if you look at detail. If you look close, you can just see a whole bunch of lines. It looks like chaos actually when you look at it. But when you step back, you start seeing the picture. And ultimately, when you look at these things, they are all masterpieces, right? Whether it's got the fine lines or the dotted lines or however it looks, each one is unique, but they are all masterpieces. In the same way, we are unique, you know? This is, so what is it? You are not a mistake. You are not a random, sorry. Just give me a second. I went way down to the end of my preacher. So I'm giving you guys the thing. Sorry about that. So that is what you are to God. You are a masterpiece to God, right? You are not a mistake. You are not a random collection of cells. You are intentionally crafted by the sculptor himself with his own hands, designed with purpose and precision. You might sit here this morning and not really have a father or mother and been thinking, well, what am I? You might be sitting here and you've been given up for adoption. You might be an orphan when you grew up. And your parents might have been telling you, well, actually, you were a mistake. You were actually never supposed to be here. But I want to tell you this morning that you are not a mistake. You are not a random collection of cells. God planned you from the very start. This is what my sword is saying, right? God planned me from the very start. You are special. You are unique. And God has a purpose for you this morning. Doesn't matter where you are. God planned you and he's got a purpose for you. So we did the identity series earlier this year. And I remember, I don't know if you guys can remember these circles. So it was quite cool that I, and a nice way for me to sing it. And what they, this is basically the identity gap is what is described here. What I'm going to try and explain to you guys. So the circle on the left hand side, which is the purple circle, is basically an illustration of what God sees, right? When God looks at you, what does he see? Those are everything that's collected on the left hand circle. And then the circle on the right hand side is the circle, which is what do I see? So what does the world see? What do I believe I am like? Right? So those things can be distorted and they might be a little bit away from each other in terms of how God sees me and how do I myself see me and what has the world actually came and brought things into and slipped in there in terms of saying things that which your word is not saying to you and that have distorted you. So the first thing that I want to say is that second circle is what do I believe, right? I believe I'm a failure. I believe I'm not good enough for God. my sins cannot be forgiven. I mean, the devil's telling me my sins can't be forgiven. I'm a bad father. Look at that guy. Look how he's treating his children. Why am I not more like that? If they really know me, they won't love me. That is what the world is telling us today, right? The world is trying to make sure that you start believing these things. But what does my word say? So what is the circle number one saying? Am I really? So what does God see? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." If you belong to Jesus, you are a new creation. You are no longer that person that no one likes type thing. Yes, people might not know you, but that's not what God sees. You are a new creation. Jesus has created a new thing. All your previous sins have been covered. Jesus has taken your place on the cross. You are loved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You were chosen. Next point. You were chosen before the world began. Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 4 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He chose us before the creation of the world, not yesterday or only the day that we got baptized. He chose us way long before, and all of our days were planned. You have been forgiven of everything. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us." 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness." Not that sin from 2 years back. That can't come up. Jesus has paid for that. And he's standing in that way. You are accepted. Acts 10 verse 34, where Peter said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." You are adopted into his family. You are his child. Your heavenly Father takes great delight in you. Not just you are a child. He takes great delight in you. He loves everything you do, whether it's a mistake or not. He loves you. So those are the two circles. And then basically, again, like I said, so the left-hand side is how God sees you, what my sword is saying, how God is seeing me. And the right-hand side is how I see myself. And those two pictures are very different. And where those two pictures basically intersect, that section three, that is basically where I believe what God is seeing in me. So if I have gone through time and I've learned, well, actually, I am beautiful. For example, then that insert in that section three. But the difference between one and two and three would ultimately be the identity gap, right? And the question that we need to answer is, how do we align our views of ourselves more with what God is seeing, what God is saying? Because again, it's not what my mother is feeling of me or what my spouse is thinking of me. It's what God is seeing of me. And I need to make sure that I align that circle too, to be squarely, circularly on top of circle one, right? I don't know if that is even a word, but yeah. Good. So, God created us as his masterpiece. So, Ephesians 2 verse 10, it continues. He says, "He created us anew in Christ Jesus." And this points to transformative power of God's love and grace. Through Jesus Christ, we are not only created, We are also redeemed and restored. Despite our flaws and failures, God sees us as his perfect creation. You are perfectly made through the lens of his son's sacrifice. So I listened to a preacher called Tim Keller quite a lot in the mornings, and I quite enjoy things. And in one of his sermons, which I listened to, he used this word, and it rang so true. It says, salvation is not the reward for the good things you have done. It is your inheritance as a son or a daughter of God. You are qualified simply because he qualifies you, right? It's not what you did or in which family you were born out of or what bloodline you might have. You are qualified not because what have you done, but simply because he qualifies you, because you are his son and his daughter. The world is saying to you today that you are not good enough. You are a failure. And I wanted to tell you today that we should not let the world impose an identity on us that we are not. The enemy knows very well that if he can distort your view of yourself and break that link in terms of how God sees you and how you're seeing yourselves, then he's winning. If he can convince you that you are just average, that there's nothing special in you, then he will keep you from your greatness that God has destined for you. The devil is using not fact, but opinion of others, right? Opinions to keep you from being the true you, to keep you from God's plans for you. He uses hurt and pain to disguise your true identity. But today I want to tell you, if that is the case, well, I want to tell you that Jesus didn't come to die for junk, right? He didn't come to just die for an average person. God sees you as a masterpiece. He sees you as very special. And if you don't realize that, take a clear look at the cross. Take a clear look at Jesus. That is how much you are worth. That is how much you are worth. Isaiah 44 verse 4 says, you are God's treasured possessions. You are chosen. Understanding ourselves as God's masterpieces empowers us to embrace our true identity. Too often we allow the world to define who we are by our achievements, our possessions, our appearances, but our true worth comes from being children of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's all thank God and Jesus for what he's done for us on the cross. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus, that I'm a son and a daughter in his house. Let's thank God that I am a son or a daughter in his house specifically. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcame the world, even our faith. So, I spent quite a lot of time now trying to convince you guys that you are masterpieces. And I was hoping that you guys are starting to believe it specifically. But if we now start believing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has a plan for us, that I'm not a mistake, what are the implications of this truth that we've now learned, right? What are the things that we need to start realizing? And I've written down here three points to make that if we believe that we are masterpieces, that we need to start implementing in our lives. So the first point is that we no longer need to strive for the validation or approval from others. We are already approved by God, the one that needs to approve us, right? We don't need to worry about what other people think of us. If God has approved you, you are approved. No one can take that tick away from your name specifically. It's not them that's going to write your name in the book of life one day, eh? The second one is to recognizing ourselves as masterpieces of God compels us to treat others with dignity and respect. So we've learned that we are all masterpieces. God loves each and every one of us. So we need to start thinking and seeing that in other people as well. I pray that I would never be that person that throws the stone and say, you are not God's masterpiece. You are not good enough. You can't be saved. So let's start treating other people as well. Yes, we are different. You might have the perfect lines and I might just be the dots type thing on those paintings, but we are all unique. Even though we're different, we are masterpieces and we are seen as masterpieces in His eyes. And then the third one is understanding our identity as God's masterpieces gives us hope and courage in the face of adversity. So if we are standing on the other side and people are throwing those rocks to you, you can start saying, but that it doesn't fit. What the world is saying doesn't fit in that circle of what God is saying to me. And those things will just bounce off you and saying, but my word, my sword is saying something else. I'm protecting myself with a sword. Jesus says that I am loved. I am good enough for that. So God has a purpose for you. And He created you for a purpose, on purpose. Right? I'm going to read that again. God has a purpose for you. He created you for a purpose, on purpose. Again, you are not a mistake. So, if you might be sitting here this morning, and I want to ask you four specific questions. And it might be good to write these questions down. And every day, I want to, if we believe that we are masterpieces and we are called by the Father, what are the things that we need to focus on, right? What are the things that we need to make sure that we get right? And I want you to just sit where you are and think about these things. Think hard and long about these things. Make sure that you can make those impacts. So the first question is, what am I called to be? What am I called to be? So some of you guys might be called to big businessmen. Others of you might be called to actually go out to the nations and preach the gospels. Each of us is a specific person. And I want to ask you, what am I called to do? And you need to decide, God needs to show that in your heart to you this morning, is what am I called to do? And how do I go into the Great Commission, whether it's in my community, whether it's in my office, and actually serve those people? The second one is, what am I called to do? Right? So the first one was called to be, and the second one is called to do. Where do I need to reach people? Where should I go and add my two cents for that matter and really reach people and make sure that I get those people? The third one is, where am I called to serve? What are the areas that I need to go and serve in? It makes me think, and Tibbs helped me to say that it's Craig apparently said it, but it's a story about the broom sweeper in the NASA offices. And when a reporter one day came and he asked this guy that's just cleaning the floors, and he asked him, well, what do you do for a living? The guy responded and said, I help put people on the moon. Right? And that rang so true to me. He could have said, I'm just a floor sweeper and I can do that anywhere. But he was so proud of what he's doing, where he's serving and where he's adding, that he can say, well, I am putting people on the moon. And the question is, where you are currently serving, where you are doing what you need to do, are you realizing that you are helping to get people to God, right? Making sure that you are teaching people, making fishers of men out there, and really serving where you are supposed to be served. And then the fourth one is, how am I called to serve? And it talks to itself. But again, when you are serving, let's do it with love. Let's do it with compassion. Let's do it with urgency, because we want to be serving, right? It's very easy to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning if I want to do that. But if I don't want to do it, it becomes difficult. So again, how am I called to serve? So in closing, I want to say this. Remember, you are God's masterpiece. Embrace this truth. Live it out daily. And let it transform your every aspect of your life. May you walk in the fullness of your identity as beloved children of the Most High God, knowing that you are deeply loved. You are valued and cherished beyond measure. Amen. So this morning, you might be sitting here and you might be thinking or not believing what I'm saying. You might be feeling that, well, how can I be loved? You know, what did I do right to get this? And again, I want you to realize that it's not what you did right, but it's because who you are a son to, who you are a daughter to, right? So you might, if you are believing it and you are struggling to get convinced, then I'm sure the Holy Spirit's working in your heart right at this time and telling you, well, you need to get something right. I want to say, let's make sure that we start aligning those circles. And I want to pray for you this morning. I want to just pray for each and every one for you as where you are sitting. And I'm not going to call you up. But I want you guys to really feel what God is doing in your lives, where God is reaching you guys, and ultimately that you are called. So once we've done that, I'll do something else. But where we are this morning, let's just close our eyes and let's just pray that God reaches you where you are at. Father God, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you that you are our King. You are our Savior. But most of all, Father God, that you are our Father. That you are the one true King. The one who loves us. The one who made us for purpose, on purpose. Father God, as we are sitting here, and some of us might be feeling, Father God, that our hearts are not in the right place. Our views of ourself is not in the right space, Father God. We are struggling to believe that we are children of God and perfectly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Father God, I want to pray that you will come and that you will align our visions. Father God, that you will align our visions and help us to see ourselves through your eyes, through the lens of Jesus, Father God, that we will put those glasses on and see. But I am a masterpiece. The cross was for me. You came to die for me, Father God. Father God, yeah, I want to pray that if we are sitting here this morning, Father God, that we will open our hearts, that you will come and work more and more on us. Father God, I pray that you will make us strong, Father God, and help us to know our words, Father God, that when the enemy comes and attacks us, because we know he's going to do that, that's the only weapon he has, Father God, that we will be reached, Father God, by your Spirit, that your Spirit will calm us, Father God, and that we will be able to bounce those arrows off, Father God, that we will be able to protect ourselves with our swords, Father God, in defense, Father God, that we will attack the enemy where it hurts him the most, Father God. I pray that your word will come, that you will reach us, and that you will work in our hearts, Father God, that we will realize how much you love us. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. And help us to walk in our true identities. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to continue with our identity creed. So, when we did the identity series, we did the identity creed in the beginning of the year. And we're going to read it. But before we go into that, I want to strongly encourage you, if you this morning felt that you are not at the right place, you need some prayer, people need to just kind of come around you and just pray with you. And I want to encourage you to not be shy. And just after the preach, the elders and the deacons will be around just to pray with you and really encourage you and assist you in this journey. We are all on this thing together. We are a community. We need to work together to reach these things. Okay, so I was very impressed this morning. But some of us know this identity creed by heart, and we can recite it just like that. I can't, unfortunately, and clearly I need to train myself a bit more. But we're going to say the identity creed as we walk out, and I want you guys to be encouraged. And as you read through those words, we're going to say it together, but as you read through it, be encouraged. Let's believe what we are saying. Let's believe that we are sons and daughters of Christ. So, yeah, I'm going to hand over, and then you can take us through this. She's going to say it off by heart, and hopefully the pressure is not too big on her. And, yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andre. I think before we get to the identity creed, you know, when you were sharing here, I think one thing that I've also found to be very important, and I think, is it Steve? I forgot his name. Steve, yes. When we were doing the identity, in one of the first, I think one of the first sessions, he spoke of how it is important that we spend time with God, because that's where we find the truth about our identity. So we need to spend time with him so that when the other voices come and tell us of things that we're not, but because we have spent time with our Father, we know who he says we are, then we are able to reject whatever the enemy is saying. So it's very important that we spend time with our Father. So we can believe this is true when we know for sure that he said it in his word. Amen. So yeah, oh, I did. I'm going to look at you so I don't forget. So can we all say it? So I'm going to say it, and you're going to say it after me. Yeah, hope you will say it and believe it. So say it like you believe it. Amen. So I am a child of God. I am made in the image of God. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. If every spiritual blessing in Christ. I was chosen by him before the world began. I'm loved more than I'll ever know. My Father knows me. My Father loves me. He cares for me. He takes great delight in me. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. I have been forgiven. I am a saint. I am loved and the beloved. I am designed and destined for great purposes in him. I am God's holy temple. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am intended to live for his glory. Christ dwells in me. Christ dwells in me. I'm a new creation. I'm a child of the light. I am part of a new family. I am precious. I am called. I am empowered. I'm God's inheritance. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I am a child of God. I am dead to sin. I am alive to Christ. I am a child of God. Amen. Not this. I used to say it every night, because that's how you believe it. You say it over and over again, and you're also going to start believing it. Amen. As Tebs usually says, the church starts after this. So as you go home, you start the week. May you live like a masterpiece you are. May you live believing that you are a child of God. Amen.